Guess what's coming back on 21st March this year? Oh, yes, it's the Listener Letter Live. Do you like listening to other people's problems? Do you like listening to me talk about other people's problems? In fact, if the Listener Letter segment is your favorite thing on the podcast, then this event is made just for you. Listen, we're diving into our DMs and bringing you all those letters that we've not gotten to on 21st March, 7 p.m. prompt at the Cube GCR. Yes, you've been there before. Chado, of course. Early bird tickets are on sale from now till March 7th. Then regular tickets commence. Call your friend, your best friend, your girlfriend, your old lover, and pull up to GCR's The Cube on 21st March and let's have a good time talking about other people. Ah, won't pay wait, then I will pay. And I love you, I want you, I need you, there's no one above ya, only one I love, oh yeah, yeah, oh yeah, yeah, and then what, and no matter the place or the time, forever my baby, there's only one above ya, Samokai. Yonkwe. Baby, so what fun, Mitchipwa? Made I want to meet a bitch of a mapple. I know my fraud, you know. Come on! Welcome, party people, to another exciting episode of the Sincerely Acquired Podcast. Yes, you know what you have signed up for. You know what you came for. You know what you have signed up for. Don't have to say it one more time that you came for, that it's like balanced out. Anyway, guys, I am so glad to be back. Listen, and this time around, I won't say it's been 2 weeks because we were just with you last week. Oh, yes. We stuck to our words. Oh, you can call us Tim Gunn because we what? Stuck to our guns. Yes, guys, we're back. Yes, it is your favorite podcast in the world now, weekly. What do they know about weekly podcasts? Welcome, guys, to Sincerely Acquired Podcast. My name is Joseph Inti. I'm going to be your host for this entertaining period of time. Oh, my goodness. And trust me when I say entertaining, okay? I want to give a quick shout out to the Gold Coast Report. That's the GCR Network, the number one podcast hosting in the whole Ghana. Yes, yes, yes. I also want to give a quick shout out to my co-creator, producer, Mr. Kwame Asante Euphoria. Yes, we've been in the business since 2017. Where have you been? Are you new to Sincerely Accra? We've been around for a while. 8 years going on 9? Yes, don't play. They call us the people's favorite for a reason, y'all. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, look, welcome to an all-exciting episode of the podcast. I am so happy to be back here with you guys again. This is a solo episode, okay? Catch up with the program, okay? Next week is going to be Kwame and me. Then the next one is solo. Then Kwame. You listen. Mube catch up. I say more class na teacher tried and he said at the beginning it's like he's talking formulas and about one test. Then when he gives you one like story problem and then he teaches you how to work it. Now if the formula na more follow. Maybe why? And I don't know. But anyway, welcome to another exciting episode. On this episode, we're going to be talking about something very interesting, of course, across nightlife scene and event space. You know, every December, it's not even just December, but basically like during like peak events periods like December, Easter, Independence Day, you know, we like to put on shows, we like to have events, and there's always something left to be desired. And so we gathered a few people that have, like, you know, played some kind of pivotal roles in the space over the years, and we brought them together to have a conversation about it, and you're going to enjoy it very, very, very much. But, you know, as we always do, we have to start you guys off with what's been trending. So let's get right into the jig, because you know these times, the stories are plenty and the time is limited. So much is going on. Okay, let's get into what is trending.
Did I come at you? Listen, I so messy. Dropping out on my chain. Then I want my name. I'm on my chain. Dropping out on my chain. Then I want my name. They said I come at you. But it goes slow. The boy got dreams of a G-Moto. We na kwante bisa mini obi a me bisa just many sana me call many sana for the needs why do you not want to go baby just many sana me call many sana for the go slow.
All right, so quick shout out to Ara the J, his video for Talisman. I hope you guys have listened to Ara the J's The Odyssey album. Anyway, his video for Talisman, the song he has featuring Stoneboy is out. It was directed by Andy Magite, an old friend of mine. Shout out to you, Andy Magite. Listen, Andy started doing like really like future forward visuals like way back, you know, back when La Meme was like coming out fresh. Yeah, that's when I noticed Andy and Andy's work. So I'm always excited to see an Andy Magite production. He's done some work for Jackie that I remember. I know that was forever, like one of her early videos. You know, he's done a lot of work. Like, don't even get, I'm just blanking out right now, but Andy's been in the game. And so shout out to you guys. Go check out the video. I think Black Sheriff also has a new music video for Top of the Morning, right? Sim. Sympathy down to a zero. Yeah, go check it out. He shot it at number one Oxford Street. I saw it. I've seen the video. Very interesting. I mean, I don't think I'm privy to the inside of that building, so it was great to see what that looked like. Yeah, I think those are the little things that we can start off with. But let's talk about this really interesting topic that I saw, okay? And look, these things are happening in Accra, so we might as well. We don't always have to cover celebrity news, you know what I mean? Guys, I don't know how many of you have seen about this baby thief, yes, at the Manpuri Hospital. Well, it's close to Dansoman. And the Dansoman police station was involved. And that's how I saw it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to talk about it. So basically, a baby was stolen from the Manpuri Hospital, okay? The thief was caught on camera. Apparently, they said she's dressed as a nurse. But when I looked at the camera footage, there was nothing nurse-like about her. She was wearing normal clothes. And she had used a cloth to cover her chest where the baby was hiding, right? So, the cameras work at the hospital. I know what. I'm sorry. Like, when I saw the story and they were like able to, you know, one thing I've noticed, I see like a lot. You guys hold me accountable. Can you people count the number of times I see like in the episode and just tweet that to me? So I say, Joseph, this episode you said like 20 times. Then maybe I will, you know, we'll target 15 for the next one. That's the only way. Cause I don't know. Somebody that used to teach English at a collegiate level is so bad. They be on a like, they are simini. Anyway, look, when I saw the screen grab of the video, I was like, wait, so they caught the woman because the cameras were working? Wow. Oh, me boy shock. Me can dad out. Like, guys, look, I've said it like twice since I said it, right? Yeah, anyway. Let's be honest with each other. Where you don't also shock that they said the camera is working? Oh, Munja isa, especially when, like, come on, you know, okay, let's just move on. This story is very interesting to me because here's the thing. This woman steals a baby. There's a whole lot of hullabaloo about it, okay? So obviously, in the environs and even online, people know that a baby has been stolen. Tell me why this baby thief is going to call her sister, talking about, oh, she just gave birth, the sister should come and see her baby. And I'm like, but sis, it takes 9 months to fully cook a baby, okay? In the 9 months, have you not seen your sister? And don't you think people would have told your sister they are pregnant? So I don't quite get that part of the story, right? Because this was somebody that was narrating the story from the police station. The girl was so eager to spill the tea. I was like, what is going on? Was she looking for her 15 minutes of fame? Because I can guarantee you, after you watch the video, that was it. Nobody's going to, I don't know. Maybe you, look, you know what I tell you guys about social currency and an online presence? She could pivot and start something. Right? You remember that little woman that was campaigning for Baumia and then all of a sudden she came popular on social media? Like, I get it. But anyway, so she calls her sister that, oh, she has a baby now. Come and see my baby. Hey, my wo. And her sister didn't even say anything. She's like, okay, cool. I'm going to come, right? Hangs up the phone. Goes straight to the police station. Talk about, look, I have heard there's a baby that has been stolen and I think my sister has it. That is how the woman was called to her own sister. Y'all be talking about blood is thicker than water. She said, I don't know what you are talking about. Me, I drink oats. And that is the thickest of all. Yes. Mirror, mirror on the wall. What is the thickest of all in the land? It's Quaker Oats. Or maybe, is it Sunrise? I don't know. Is there a Ghanaian Oats brand? I think it's Sunrise, right? Anyway. So yes, that's what happened though. And now she has been arrested. Oh, baby. I don't know what her plan was. Also, ma'am, why are you stealing a baby? Do you know how expensive babies are? I'm sorry, like, not to, I just hope it's not like I'm speaking out of temper. I was like, I was just thinking about the whole thing, and I'm thinking, does she have a man? Does she have a husband? It's like, you are stealing a baby to be a single, look, there are people that want to be parents, okay? And then there are people that, like, they go to have a child, hoping that it will be a two-parent household, and then it doesn't happen. And there are people that, like, you know, maybe through some kind of mistake, oops, hey, man, share condom. Hey, wait, do me wrong. Hey, me ref you, you know? And then they have a baby. Those are certain circumstances like, okay, that's happened to you. You are electing to go and steal a baby. With what plans? Like, let's be very honest. Raising children in 2026 in Ghana is not the same as raising children in the 90s. Yo, your child was a community project. Right now, there's no teamwork, oh. And you're solo dolo. Grandmothers now are even refusing to come and do the whole bathing the baby and pressing the head. They don't got, have you seen the grandmothers? They're wearing corsets. Grandmothers are taking a walk at 5 a.m., running. Grandparents are like, come on. Why? What is this financial burden up? Now, if you want a child that bad, I would skip the diaper part. The problem here is you guys are obsessed with having biological children. That's what it is. Because honestly, if you really want to be a parent, you can parent people. And there are people that need parents. You know what I mean? This whole obsession with mina me wono. You don't even have a maternity photo shoot. So what was the plan? Anyway, I spent too much time on this woman, but that is the tea down Amman Probi, okay? The woman is at the Damsumo police station. I just cannot be asked. I would have walked, and that would involve also talking to the police and a lot of negotiation, but I would have gone there to go and ask her some questions because I'm your blogger. Anyway, let us move on to this news that has been trending for quite some time. In fact, last week, Kwame and I forgot to talk about it, but this Russian man coming to Ghana and apparently Kenya, guys, apparently he does this elsewhere too. And you know, allegedly making advances at women, sleeping with some of them, caught it all on his Ray-Ban glasses. I have seen a lot of discourse online. Okay. First of all, if you don't know about it, there's this Russian man. Apparently he has like pages, TikTok, Telegram and stuff. Basically, he comes to Ghana, he talks to girls, and he's able to convince some of them to come back to his hotel room with him, and then they sleep together. I think sometimes he gives them money or whatever. And the thing that's crazy about the whole thing is, he records it. He's got these new Ray-Ban glasses that record. So they don't know they are being recorded. To them, he's just somebody that's wearing glasses, right? And so it was like last week or so, it was like several videos just all over the internet. People were leaking from his page. I heard he had deleted or blocked, privatized his page or something like that. But these videos were obviously copied and downloaded by people. And he started posting it everywhere, Twitter and stuff, right? These are different women in different circumstances. And it was so interesting to see the Discord. Is it Discord? No, Discourse. Around it. Everybody was talking about, like, I saw some conversations about how people were like, oh, it's so embarrassing. Coming from Ghanaian men, so embarrassing. Eh? When we are here, you not give us face, and you're so cheap. You know, a lot of discourse. First of all, I want to point out, human beings are not like, we are not objects on a shelf. The idea that like, the amount, maybe you, the time it takes for somebody to get in your bed or whatever, the idea that it cheapens you is very interesting to me because it's like there's one demographic, right, that is hailed when they have a lot of sexual experience because they are supposed to know what they are doing, right? And there's another demographic that is like shamed if they have a lot of sexual experience because they're supposed to come clean and pure and meek and not be, you know what I mean? But the question is, and this is a real question, because for a country where you don't want nothing to do with same-sex couples, where are you expecting these men to have this sexual experience from? Surely it's not their hands. Like, do you know what I'm trying to say? I've always found that thing so interesting. Like, women cannot just be empowered and want to have sex because they want to have sex. It's always like, the man, I don't know. That's just how I see it. But honestly, the whole discourse I was seeing around the cheap and, oh, disgrace, it was very interesting to me. Half of you niggas online that were talking about this thing and making it look like you get rushed, but then women are giving it up and whatever. It's like, you are being so disingenuous right now. You're being so, like, there's a whole host of people that when December comes around, you guys are happy because there's a flux influx of all these foreigners, and you know that they are not like your Ghanaian girls. They are easier to talk to. They are more friendly. Some of them, because they're on vacation, they're DTF. So you guys are already like, you know, you said some of you are like, you wait. December is when you like, you go wild because you want to meet some foreign thing and have a little thing for a week or two. And then, you know, a lot of y'all do this. And even without the influx of foreign people, a lot of you be going around and soliciting sex from people. Sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't. And the thing is, I feel like a lot of you guys that are complaining and making it look like somebody's cheap is because you're not getting some. I can guarantee you, people that have good supply of orgasms were not online participating in this discourse talking about this person is cheap and that person is cheap. I don't know. It's just very disingenuous. And it's also very interesting to see that something like this happens. And these people, yes, they are victims. Yes, they are victims. I don't know what your definition of a victim is, but once that man posted those videos online without their consent, sharing very private, I don't know if they're actual sex tapes. Somebody said that he does that on his Telegram behind a paywall. But you know, private moments, you think that if these women knew that they were recording, they would consent to it? And don't say that there has to be a camera for them to act different. You too, you wouldn't consent to it. So the moment he posted them and put them out there the way that he did, he's made them victims. There are girls in there that did not end up sleeping with him. But because the narrative is that every single person in the video is someone he has slept with, now they have to live with that stigma. They have to go the rest of their life saying, I never slept with him. And people be like, oh, you are just trying to be one of the people that he didn't sleep with, he has slept with. You know what I mean? So yes, nobody, like the discourse that I was seeing about people that were even attacking the man and saying that this was wrong and everything, it wasn't as much as I was seeing the opposing side. Very disingenuous, guys. Very, very disingenuous. That's the issue. Honestly, that's just how it sounds like to me. I have a friend that says, every time he listens to the podcast, he feels like I'm always defending women and not men. And I'm like, I'm sorry. If the act or the activity is some niggatry, I will call it out. I'm sorry. Call it a bias that comes from growing up with my mother, spending more time with her versus my dad. I don't know what you want to call it. But for me, I try to be as objective as I can. I feel like you guys are having disingenuous conversations about this thing, this whole thing about, and here's another thing. Ghanaians generally are just too hypocritical for me. Honestly, Ghanaians as a people, too much hypocrisy. Too much. I need a little bit more genuineness. There's nothing inspiring about being some cookie cutter fake version of yourself out there. Like, it really is annoying. It is. Because here's the thing. All of you guys are having sex. Some of you are having sex with people who are married. Some of you are having sex with people you're not supposed to have sex with. Some of you are having sex in places you're not supposed to do it. It's all happening. But because yours is not on the Jumbotron, you are loud. You are loud. What are you talking about? And even for those of you who are not having sex, you wish you were having sex and it's not happening for you. So I don't know, that the whole discourse was very, very disingenuous. And I think you guys can do better. You can do better. But hey, this is a world where we have access to the internet and so many resources for you to educate yourself on why people think they're victims or why people think, because I saw people like, literally somebody said, "Ah, these are victims." And somebody said, "How is this a victim? You follow somebody yourself. How is this a victim?" Mudie. Munim, ya kanso amun tie, ya sibun kwa kanso amun kain, ya the two videos so amun shre. Jicha say, like, I don't know what it is. And I'll say, Ghana, you people like to major in the minors so much. Anyway, look, the Minister of Information and Technology, okay, Sam George. Yeah, so, you know, he did some interviews, I was talking about extradition. And is it extradition or extradition? Never been. But I did see, you know, even before like this Russian sites came to say anything, a lot of people did videos saying that we don't have any extradition laws, so they cannot ask the Russian government to bring the man back. Then I saw something about the Russian government saying that they cannot ascertain if the man is actually Russian. Because I mean, come to think of it, if I go around and I put on a great accent, you know, you like me, follow me, like that would be the narrative. Although that sounds more Indian. Anyway, right? But how do we know? So, I mean, I saw that. And then later, I saw another thing where some judge was saying that they are going to press criminal charges. Then the Russian, look, they are doing their best. I mean, I feel like the Ghana end of things is doing its best to seek some justice. And I'll be following the story closely. I really don't think that much is going to happen by way of this man. Seeing as we don't have any extradition laws, I don't know how they're going to call him to order. Lawyers, feel free to let me know what is possible, but we'll be following the story closely. But yeah, y'all stop being hypocritical, okay? It's enough. It's enough. We have enough problems. This is not one of them. Women, and you see, here's another thing. Sometimes when things happen, you guys want to throw away context and nuance. Look, let us not act like we don't live in a country where things are not like in Satsianyanyepe. And if you watch the video, here's something. A foreign individual will always present to some people as an opportunity to, one, escape, two, financial freedom, right? Yeah, because in their mind, they don't know that he's like a headed and run. So it's like, oh, this man likes me. Maybe we can develop something. Like what? People get married to white people, foreigners, and leave their country. They become dual citizens somewhere. We see it all the time. So I mean, in one of the videos, the girl's friend was like, hey, he's going to marry you. It's not far-fetched, right? I know men should not be trusted, but it is not far-fetched. And you should also understand the reason why they would look at a foreigner and give him the opportunity that they might not give a Ghanaian man. Because I saw a lot of you guys making those kind of comparisons. If it was a Ghanaian man, of course. I mean, me no one say her. Opportunity, Papa, man, or whatever. and that's why people are saying things like, oh, maybe if you're a Ghanaian man and you have a car, of look, you don't want to live in reality. Let's be honest. People want to be better off. People want to find ways to elevate. So what about the same pay? Does your father have a car? And they okay, and your strong points. So, girl, the person elevates. Never pay any car. Maybe any partner bicycle. Into it is up to her to start the shepherd of her future. Into who bana usu na unform na nasa uno usu cry bicycle. No, or catch you know I will be for sana sa papa tree bicycle. Debi oh, me papa tree bicycle into me car. Aha, me so me pe Benz ni bi. What I see? And then my four, move your social media, move your Snapchat, Abado, Pato, car, Acheke, Acto car. Yes, they can also aspire. You guys, you just, let's move on, Sha. So look. News is flying left, right, center. I don't know. This is Wednesday, 18th of February. By the time this comes out, I don't know if we'll have further confirmation, but apparently Afia is married to her longtime on and off lover, Tommy Thomas, a singer from Nigeria, and apparently heavily pregnant. The video started circulating, and it was a bit blurry, but if you know Jane Ifiawindo, and she looked quite heavy. She was wearing a poof dress. And so even when I saw it at first, I was like, And then like on the second day, on the second day, that's when it started coming out clearly that she's heavily pregnant. Here's the thing. I have Ifia's number. I have Ifia's number, and I know a lot of people in her clique. And I thought to myself, should I call and find out? And I said, you know what? I'm not going to do it. I am going to report this news story like I've seen from online. But I will call. Eventually, I will call. I think I owe it to you guys. By the time we do the next episode next week, I will have some intel. But I'm reporting it as it is. I'm giving her the chance. Maybe she wants to come and announce it her own self. That's why. Because you know the funny thing? Over the weekend that he said this happened, she tweeted, amen. You know, so if you're this thing that Mr. Easy does on Twitter as well. You know, Mr. Easy, every now and then you come and tweet, thank you, God, for making things for keeping things running smoothly. Yes. If you're too does the same thing. And sometimes you say, amen, thank you, Jesus. And then she tweeted something over the weekend. You know, and I was like, okay. And think about it was a Valentine's Day weekend. So perfectly timed. But you know what? I am very excited and happy for you, for your new path, your journey, your love. All the best to you, girl. We will be watching and wait to see if you make any official announcements. But by next week, you will be hearing from me. I need to know. The people need to know. Okay. I'm coming. Kwesi Arthur performed one of his songs from Redemption Valley Immigration on the radar. I don't know how many of you guys are listening to the album. What are your opinions? It's been out for some time now. I haven't seen any update from the story, the case. But yeah. That happened. So at a proper time, I will give you guys my review of the album. Maybe I'll do it. Actually, you know, Kwame and I should do it together. I think that would be nice, you know, because Kwame also brings a very interesting perspective. Me, I don't know. I feel like when I listen to things or my opinion, I'm always like, I always have like some off-center thing. Like, I'll listen to a song and I'll be like, oh, this song reminds me of like a Tampico advert. And Kwame is like, we'll be thinking about, okay, no, the drums, they come from Musibisa and then this. I'll be like, no, I just hear, pam, 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 da, 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 Tampico. That's how my mind works, guys. Anyway, look, PopCon is having the time of his life in this country. I don't know what PopCon came to Ghana to do. So the first time I saw that PopCon was on stage with Blacko, right? Let me do a quick Google. Maybe I can see. It says, Global Dance Hall Star PopCon and Molly. Well, they spotted it. But yeah, so PopCon is in Ghana. The first thing I saw was that he went to the Shea Butter Museum to go and experience the He went to experience that, right? He went to experience that at Hamamat's place. I saw that. And then, by the way, guys, have you seen that Nigerians have started doing some of the kuria? Let me say something. Our brothers and sisters, Niger, they know they carry last. Now, I'm going to say, hey, Shea Butter will be. I saw they are also doing their version. Shout out to them. So PopCon was here. I saw he performed somewhere with Blacko. So this is after the Shea Butter experience. And then just today, I saw that he's been installed as a chief in Cape Coast. Yeah, Central Region. He has been installed. You people love to install people when they come here. I tell you, you love to install. There's this, the guy from Nicki Minaj's video, Yola, but boy, I'm gonna tell you this time, you're the realest. Ba, ba, da, ba, ba. I think he's called Michael Jai White. Yes. This guy came to Ghana a couple of years ago. They installed him. I should speak. They gave him a Ghanaian name. I don't know. They didn't install him. They just gave him a Ghanaian name. Everybody, listen, if you come here, I'm sure Boris Cujo is there, has been installed somewhere. But I'm saying, just, girl, they will install you right now. But yeah, PopCon's having the time of his life. Every day I open my social media, PopCon is doing something. I feel like he came here for a show. That's what I'm trying to Google right now, guys. Hold on. Yeah, I'm just trying to see. The funny thing about looking for stuff these days is that you instead of seeing the information, you are seeing people's tweets and people's comments and things. But don't worry. Okay, so this is from Ghana Week. Jamaican dancehall musician Andre Hugh Sutherland. Oh, he has a nice name. Known professionally as PopCon, arrived in Ghana on January 27th. In video shared online, the unruly boss was seen at the office of media personality Bola Ray. During the conversation, PopCon mentioned that he would be in Ghana until February 1st. And he said, by the time of court. We are actually arranging a meeting for you to meet with executives of the Gold Board jewelry brand. Okay. Bola getting the work in. They said PopCon is not new to the Ghanaian entertainment space. He has visited several times, collaborated with Ghanaian dancehall acts, and even filmed music videos in the country. His official video for Promise was predominantly shot in Ghana, showcasing locations such as the Ibri Botanical Gardens. No, but yeah, Dianya, I'm on country, me. I don't know. I guess he just came to visit. But PopCon, yeah. So PopCon came. He did Kuria. He performed with Blacko at an event. And then he became a chief in the Central Region. So shout out to you, PopCon. Okay. Uzu my old African Toana. I love it for us. Anyway, that is all of the news that I was able to gather for what's been trending. I saw a video of, and you know, it's so funny that they have a whole name. I saw a video of somebody from Team Legal Wives. If you don't know, that is Akusia Sewe's people. That is the first wife of Daddy Lumba. And he was talking about how, did anybody see Daddy Lumba's face? Daddy said they are burying him. No. And that their own funeral is coming on. And I said to myself, wow. On two episodes ago, I had said that this woman is coming and they said she's coming to do a funeral for Daddy Lumba. And I said, but they've buried the man. So is it that they are bringing a new body or what? I said it as a joke. Come to find out that is actually happening. Because this man was very, very enraged, talking about, yes, they are coming to do their own funeral. And I'm like, how is this going to happen? Eh? Kubosi. I was just a bit confused. But you know what? I know I said I'm not going to be talking about this, but I'm sorry. If it surprises me, I would just have to talk about it because I just feel like, what is going on? Why are we still doing all of this, y'all? Right? Anyway, shout out to Samini. I think his album, Originate, is also out. Big shout out to him. If you guys remember last season, we had him on the show and he spoke about it. The album was supposed to come out like 2 years ago. Then he moved it, they moved it, but it's finally coming out. So big shout out to you, Samini. And yeah, that's what we got for you for what's trending. When we come back, we're going to get into our conversation with Joey from Black Volta, Father O, who is the artist manager for Ara the J. And of course, the people's favorite MC of the night. Well, not the night, because he does, you know, Kojo Manuel, yes. Are you mad? We've gathered the three of them and we're going to be talking about the Accra nightlife and event scene, the problems that exist, how we can make it better and all of that. So stick and stay. It's about to be a great conversation. I'll catch you on the other end of this because we have a listener letter. Yes, we do. Okay. And I just want to remind you, if you have a shout out, you want me to say anything to somebody for you, do anything. Just see. That's it. Talking to Simmons. You know what to do. Hit us up in our DMs. I'll remind you again before the episode ends. All right. Let's get into this talk.
I'll be your good boy, I'll be your gangster. If they approach you, say I'm the owner. Tell them, ooh, baby, I want me.
It's a new year, guys, but we're still, you see it, okay? I'm pretty excited for the conversation we're having today. I have some guests with me. We're going to be delving into nightlife events, okay? I know it's December, this is December, there's been so many conversations about who went where, which show was popping, what show flopped, what we need to do. So we've got a few people that are very active in the space, you know what I mean? So that we can get their opinions and thoughts and see how we can move the culture forward. It's only on Sincerely Accra, of course, I'm your host Joseph NC, nobody else. Okay. And today I have, you know what? I think you guys should introduce yourselves. I want to hear how you're going to introduce yourself. We're going to start with Mr. OD, popularly known as Father O. Yes. I think you should, who are you?
I'm Ofosudapa.
Okay.
I'm an artist manager.
Which artist?
Ara the J.
Ara the J. Okay. Yeah. So you had the very successful Odyssey event.
Yep.
Yes, at Allianz Française.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Anything else we need to know about you?
Oh, this is cool.
It's cool.
The rest will come out later.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. All right. And the man needs no introduction, but he will do it.
Anyway, thank you, Joe, for having us on the podcast.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of Sincerely Accra.
Oh, thank you so much.
So my name is Joey Ajay. Founder, creative director for Black Volta, which is a digital media firm, currently moving to the spaces of tech. So tech, entertainment, and then media. I consider myself a storyteller. So that's essentially who I am.
Tech? Yeah. Hey, can you talk more about that? Let me tell you your events, parties, Polo Beach. I don't know anything about tech.
Yeah, we started off documenting nightlife, lifestyle, entertainment across Ghana and then within Africa and diaspora. And we launched a product. We've launched the Black Volta app, which consolidates every single thing that we do in terms of our merch, our events, our ticketing, and our Black Volta Visa lifestyle card.
Yeah, I saw that.
So that has expanded our scope in terms of what we provide beyond digital media into now. I'm talking APIs, man, tech and stuff.
The way Odi is doing this, is, I mean, my year round, I don't know what it means, but you know, we're going to move swiftly along because that's not what we came here for. Okay, so look, on a scale of 1 to 10, how was your December?
Busy? Yeah.
Okay, now if you're rating it, like in terms of December that popped, 1 being it didn't pop, 10 being it popped.
I'll let Joey answer this one.
We all know Joey's answer. In fact, you know what? Let me read Joey's tweet. Okay. Let me read Joey's tweet. I think this was on the 3rd of January. It says, let's all agree, this dirty December wasn't its full stop. Baby, quotes, likes, bookmarks, reposts, through the roof. So before we get to OD, I just want to know, why do you think December didn't pop?
Okay, so... Okay, so
feel free, Joey.
I feel like it's gonna be a very long answer.
Really?
For this. So essentially, I think people also need to realize that we are media fam, okay, first and foremost, right? So the tweets that we put out wasn't really to dismiss Dirty December or to say it wasn't lit. It wasn't fun, right? I think there are people who actually had fun within Dirty December. When you look at the comments and then that we have, I think the engagements are almost about 1 million right now. Mm-hmm. Ghana Twitter also amplified it to also go global.
Yes, they did the post and then accumulated all the quotes.
Yeah, but when you look through the commentary, and that's what we liked, and we realized that there's a divide between the people who had fun and then the people who just felt like it just wasn't it for them. You can break it down into three buckets, right?
Okay.
For this Dirty December, if you realize, I just feel like the locals, it was a great Dirty December for locals. Like if you're a Ghanaian, you've been chilling, you've been hanging out and stuff like that. This December was amazing. Why? Because if you realize all the big stars had concerts, right? Ara the J, Stoneboy, Sarkodie, Shatawale, and each of them probably brought, people keep saying that they keep rinsing the same artists on the same stages, but a lot of them also brought international artists to also come in. Imagine going to a show, seeing Stoneboy, Shatawale, Sarkodie, and paying 100 CDs for it, or even getting a free ticket to actually go for the show. So people, I think locals had a lot of value for less, right?
So, why are you tweeting for the diasporans?
Let me finish. So, that's it. And then there's a second portion, right?
Okay.
We look at our analytics and we use that to inform the things that we do. We have our analytics have it that we have a very big USA following. We have about 61% of our following being diaspora.
Wow.
Now, these guys already now, their flights cost me almost £3,000 to come to Ghana. Right now, at the same time, accommodation is almost between $150 to $200. Almost we are also on metal table. You understand the tables? You can't categorize between VIP and VVIP. And so, for the diaspora, when we kept engaging them, they were like, "It's just not the same for them." You get me? It's a bit more expensive, operational wise. Like they're not getting value for money. We talked to a bit of the event owners. The locations were saying that, it just wasn't the same as last year.
The event owners were saying it wasn't the same as last year in terms of what?
In terms of revenue.
Oh, okay.
Cost was a bit high in terms of the revenue that they were making. On the streets, when you talk to the guys on the streets, they're also saying, okay, maybe it's a function of the FBI. Oh. Well, you get it. Uh-huh. Whatever that means.
Okay. No. So essentially what I'm hearing you say, because you're saying that obviously the locals had fun,
yeah,
but the diaspora and the people visiting, they didn't have fun.
They had fun, but they just felt like they didn't get value enough for the money that they brought. And there's a third wing, which goes into government, right?
Okay.
So for the past 3-4 years between us here, we realize how previous governments and historically they amplified it to December. You understand? It's sometimes they pay creatives, influencers, people are getting.
You know, this is a very interesting angle that you're going down,
yes,
because there were a lot of people that felt like the reason why you said that was because what you were saying about past governments pumping money into creatives and stuff like that.
Economy.
People felt like it's because nobody was giving you the same media.
You know, the funny thing from a Black Voter standpoint, this was our best year in terms of revenue. We work less.
Really?
Hey,
Joey, why did you put the tweet out? You know what? You were engagements. This is rage baiting.
No. That's what I'm saying that I'm to land. I was just saying that the new government is focused on resetting the country, right? So they've done a lot of fiscal policy, a lot of tightening. December in Ghana wasn't amplified to diaspora as much as previous years.
Okay.
So when you bring all these things together, that's where we're like, okay, let's just get feedback from
So, okay. So your tweet was feedback from your base, which is 61% diaspora. Okay. Okay. I understand.
Now do you get us?
I understand where you're coming from, but I don't agree. No, it's okay. Odi, yes, 1 to 10. Like, I mean, I know you were busy working on your whatever, but like, when you look at the terrain and everything, did December pop?
Yeah, it was cool. It was okay. I mean, based on what Joey's saying right now, right? I feel like he's really like stratified everything properly.
Come on, stratified.
Yeah, like, I feel like now locally people are trying to tap into like different things. Just aside like the regular nightlife stuff, like people are looking for more, I mean, different varied experiences.
Yeah.
So, that's definitely one factor that I'll say kind of affected how things used to look before.
Mm-hmm.
And also to add on to what you were saying about governance and government and everything too. Also, it could also be people now settling into their rules.
And so they need some time to adjust.
Probably need some time.
And then tap into, okay.
It could even be that maybe certain departments haven't been funded yet. You know, it's just a whole lot of things. But I'll say from my perspective, going to shows and everything, I feel like
Which shows did you go to?
Kweku Smoke.
Uh-huh.
That was crazy. Seeing him rappel down. Mm-hmm. That thing was crazy. Stoneboy.
Bim, okay.
Obviously, RS show.
RS, oh yeah, that's the given.
Zama. Uh-huh. Zama Disco. Well, it was Promised Land too as well.
Okay.
Yeah, I think these are the main.
So do you go to all these shows because RS is performing?
Yeah, RS. Oh, okay. Yeah. The only one I went to as
and regular individual.
That was the one over here, Afrosonic.
Afrosonic,
That was so very crazy.
Okay.
Yeah.
And all the events that you went to, you felt like the stage design and the organization has improved?
I'll say stage design, mad. Like, right now, you can't just do, you know, I'm just mounting the trusses and lights and that's it. Like, the fans actually want to see that you are spending money to do something nice.
Yeah.
So, I mean, everything has been raised, I mean, to a different level. The only thing that maybe lacking is, you know, just one or two.
What are the one or two? Let's talk about these one or two.
I mean, I think we also had Marie's video where she was talking about like
lateness
and everything.
Okay.
On our part too, also, I sit on the other side, so I can also talk about certain things that may go wrong sometimes.
Yeah. Cause I actually want to know, you know, as somebody that's putting together a show, what goes into it that causes some of these lateness? Because when you are going to a concert, what do you actually say? 8 p.m. or 9 p.m., but we don't know what goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It could be anything from even a wardrobe malfunction to, it could be anything. Like something very, very little. Something that you may think is not really a big problem.
But is a wardrobe malfunction going to cause a 4-hour delay?
Oh, that, for that.
I think I want to come in. Yeah.
You want to come in?
He's coming from a concert standpoint.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I'm also coming from, let's say, because we are in the event space and we do media coverage for a lot of these events. Mm-hmm. We understand some of these things. So sometimes event organizers, promoters, locations book international artists to come and perform. Now the money they spend on these kinds of people are very, very high. What you say? Imagine booking between $10,000 to $20,000 to $50,000 an artist. We're booking a flight, we're booking accommodation. And then you've told your event is supposed to start at 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And you book the artist and you told the artist, say, I'm performing at 9 p.m. or 10 p.m.
Why do you do that?
No, what I'm saying is, let's just say that's the time.
Okay.
We have indisciplined Ghanaians, right? Who will not show up to the event until it's 12. Do you want the event organizer to bring the artist to come and perform to an empty? You get what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is, I'm saying there's a, like people, the consumers complain.
There's a cause and effect.
Yes. There's a consumers have their roles to also play in terms of being disciplined to some of these things.
Yeah.
And event organizers also need to treat consumers fairly. You understand? Because Anaokana is a cost and effect type of thing.
Because, you know, I feel like we've had years where people pull up to events on time and they have to wait. Mind you, we stand there for hours, and I'm so glad that Manuel is going to join us very soon, because one of the things that annoys me, right, is you go to a concert, you have stood there for 5 hours, 6 hours, then the MC come and tell you that, oh, so-and-so is ready to come, but we need your energy. The energy is gone.
I remember one event where Manuel was hyping us for almost 5 hours.
Yeah.
Like a Wizkid concert. We're like, yo.
Oh my goodness, don't take me back there. Wizkid, don't take me back there. I literally stayed there till I saw them packing the the instruments on the stage, and I was like, yo, let's go. So it's like, because there's been times where people have gone earlier. So right now, it's very hard to convince people that, oh, your 8 is your 8. So where do we go from there with that? But even aside, because lateness, I feel like lateness is like something that it will take time. Crowd control. Let's talk about like putting together a concert like the one that you did, right? What are some of the considerations you make for crowd control in terms of the numbers, segmenting? Because that's another thing that people complain about. I'm buying VIP. I'm buying general admission. What's the different experiences?
So I'll speak for our show, okay, right? With segmenting the fans and everything, the issue that we even had was people that were given VIP, they paid for VIP tickets and everything, ended up coming to the regular side because they kind of felt like that was where they were getting the full experience.
Mm. Right.
But for crowd control for us, what we did was we tried to do something that we felt we could control for now. And our security partners also did a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Niner Security, they did a very good job. And yeah, really, the main thing was to make the whole show a very fan-focused show.
Mm-hmm.
And that all started from like how early the show started and the duration of the show as well. Because like you were saying, I wasn't born into this job. So I've been on the other side where we've been there for it. What's it called? Ghana vs. Niger.
Ghana vs. Niger.
Yeah. Oh, I remember one.
It's like way back.
Yeah, way back. And I think that was when they brought Super on stage, when Wizkid came and everything. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think Wizkid came on stage at 4 a.m. And like what Joey is saying, it really may not be the artist's fault, but it's a thing of, oh, sometimes it's the promoter wants the place to be packed so that they get that epic video at the end of the night.
Yeah, and what is the promoter doing to pack the place on time?
For that shoot, I think I got there around like 8. And then the headliner got on stage at 4.
Mm-hmm.
Because so you can imagine.
Sometimes you go to a show, let's say they said 8, and you say, okay, would they give or take, I'll arrive at 9. You get there at 9, they are still fixing certain things. And you know how people are right now. So if I go to the event, I'll tell my friend, they've not started. You take your time.
Yeah.
Then it causes a ripple down effect. And now you're saying you are waiting for the place to be packed.
Yeah, it's just,
what do you say is the reason why, let's say, don't watch the people coming late.
Mm-hmm.
Why is the stage not ready? Why is it not ready?
Yeah, I think you've answered the same question. I think I keep telling you, it's indiscipline.
Okay, so now it's on the organizer's part.
It's on everybody's part.
There are a lot of moving parts.
Yes, there's a lot of things, but
it could be your vendors.
I feel like generally within the event nightlife entertainment space, we just need to be more disciplined and be treating like people think entertainment is a side thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where this particular podcast,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
I think when you guys invited us to come for the podcast, you were disciplined enough to call us multiple times to say, you see what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Because, you know, we give people time and they assume it's gonna one time.
It's because, and we take you seriously. You take us seriously. Yeah. So imagine we, in this small thing that we've actually done, imagine we took it into the event space.
So you're saying vendors don't take you people seriously?
So for us, this year, December, we had a very good partner.
Okay.
So the guys that like did the stage, everything were on time. And the sad thing was we were like, who are they? We were Ghana. Because the people were actually crazy. And you know how you go to the place, the mountain, the trust, and you keep hearing the chains move and everything. Everything was automated.
Oh, sad.
Yeah. They brought like lunch for all their workers, like just little things like that.
Okay, we're gonna bring Manuel on set now. So, Manuel, you can just join us. Join us. See, like I say. Yeah. No, but no, sorry. If you, Yeah. So you see, like, Emmanuel has respected our time and he has come here on time.
So I came here on Ghanaman time.
On Ghanaman, oh, no. Honestly, this is not Ghanaman time. 30 minutes late is actually very nice. Ghanaman time, they're like 1 hour plus.
Well, don't you think?
But oh yeah, Odi, finish your points because I have a question for Manuel.
Yeah, like I was saying.
But big apology to you. Okay, know, everybody sure. For, you know,
prepare your introduction. Prepare your introduction. Everybody introduce themselves on their own.
One country.
Oh, baby. Yeah. So you're talking about your vendor.
There are a lot of moving parts, right?
Yeah.
So sometimes it depends on who you actually work with. Because, you know, December is also a crazy period where some of the vendors are taking gigs left, right, center.
Yeah.
And most of them don't factor in like the time it takes to pull down the one things that they mount and everything. So you can take an event on the 23rd, take another one on the 24th. And they don't have a lot of things. So they are going to move the stuff that they use on the 23rd
to the, same.
To the next venue. And then that alone can mess up everything because also someone needs you to do this before they move on to do the next thing.
Mm.
So all of these things come together. Okay. Now, seeing that we're very lucky last year with, obviously our production partner Studio Dream did an amazing job. Silicon House also did an amazing job with setting up. I even saw them sleep in their cars afterwards to make sure everything was.
And they charged you.
Oh.
No, but like, yeah. Are you saying like we have a limited number of vendors who do the same things for events? So much so that, let's say, everybody is using the same two or three vendors. Is that what it is?
I'd want to say that, we did Entertainment Week Ghana this particular year. During that to December.
Mm-hmm.
And what you tend to realize is for the people that are operating at a very high level, they require a certain level of discipline. And there are certain vendors that will give them that type of discipline. Like, shout out to someone like Mad Mappers, right? Mad Mappers is probably the guy who everybody use for their screens, for screen work. Every concert, every event, he has kept screens. First person he'll mention. Right. Mm. So imagine all the events we are talking about, everybody is using Mad Mappers for that particular thing. So back to my point to say, I think, we've gotten to a point where entertainment, lifestyle, creativity, people need to see it as a really big business, such that, we don't have one or two or three people just dominating the particular, industry. When it happens like that, it becomes like, how can someone give you better service delivery if he's spread thin? You get me? So that's what I would say.
So it sounds like we need more investment in the space, right?
Yes, definitely. 100%.
Cause I mean, when you listen to, for example, Mr. Easy was talking about how he was ready to invest in a venue space and that the government should also support or something like that. I mean, I see it because definitely we are rotating like what, 4 or 5 venues and the problem.
4 or 5.
One or two MCs. Hey, one MC. We are rotating one MC. Yeah.
Oh, no, right now it's not one.
It's not one.
There's a lot. There's a lot.
Oh, I know there's a lot, but it's like when you look at like the major, let's run down. What are the shows that you did? Let's run down.
Oh, the shows I did.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Start.
Okay, so Zama Disco.
Okay.
GTCO music concerts.
The free concert, by the way.
It wasn't free for us.
No, I mean, of course not you. Of course not you.
GTCO, Zama. I did a carnival in Akosombo. First time I was going there anyway.
Okay.
Liquor on the Beach.
Kiddy.
Yeah. I was a Rapaholic. We did a Caps and Bass event.
Yes,
at Bloomba. I did Dirty Rave,
mm-hmm.
did Afro Future both days.
Uh-huh.
Did PVO. Yeah, as a
I don't know PVO.
as a end of year in like New Year's Eve event that happens every year. It's usually for most of the Abroche, you know, the Americans and the Caribbeans that are around, you know.
Right.
So it's something I've been doing for a couple of years. I think those are the main ones. Apart from that, there are a lot of, you know, other ones.
Yo, there are a lot of
I know.
Yeah. But we are very busy. You know, Joey was just telling us about his tweets. I'm sure you saw the tweets there. This December No Pub tweet. But he just explained that he was speaking from the point or view of diasporans that he spoke to, but not for locals.
I hope you remember, I commented on that.
You did. What was your comment?
My comment was valid concern,
uh-huh,
but it'd be this energy killer, so too.
Yeah, let's get into that.
Because you see, it's not like he's wrong. I mean, there's a feeling of things being a little different. It doesn't automatically mean that things didn't go well.
For you, what's that difference? Difference in what sense?
For me, things didn't really change. I was still booked by the big events. I was still offered relatively okay rates, you know, per my, you understand? There were gigs, every December, there are gigs that I'm offered that I'm not able to make because I don't have time to do the gig. Basically, not because the money no good, not because anything, because dates clash. And then you see these events also being, you know, packed up. So then I'm thinking, what's the thing that's different? I think with time, when people enter the city or the country for the first time and they don't know their left from their right, there's a lot of confusion. But now I think almost everybody that's coming has been here at least once or twice. So it gets to a point where they already know where they want to go. They are more influenced by their experiences and not what you're selling them. And also, we sort of, the capitalism plenty, you understand? Like,
Charlie, you're not the target market.
So, and we do that thing and we forget that the reason why these people come is because they want to have a Ghanaian experience. Mm. Get ready with me, make I go do my hair for 30 Ghana cities. Now, the hairdresser has also seen that, oh, so the 30 Ghana, it'd be that cheap for you.
But Joey, let me ask you. You know, you said the few people that you spoke said they are not getting value for money. Did you get into what the considerations are?
I think there are a lot of considerations when it comes to value for money, in terms of tables, in terms of like spend, mm-hmm, right? So things like, service.
Okay.
Right. Am I getting proper service? There were concerts where I buy a VIP ticket and I'm in the space. Oh, shout out to Afrofuture, right? Okay. Back to my discipline thing, right? Afrofuture had it was so glaring that there is no way you would be able to enter VVIP if you don't have the access card. At a point, even the organizers of the event, Afrofuture event, were limited from going to places without the band. That's how serious it was in terms of service. So things like service delivery. Why am I paying 50K for a table and I'm not getting my money's worth from it? If there's customer service that I'm paying 50K for, Dirty Rave, I think we posted on our platform. Before we got to the event, Mr. Easy's team had everybody in their camp send out text messages and emails to people to say, please, you'll be coming tomorrow. When you're coming, call me. I'll come to the gate. I'll give you parking. I'll direct you to your seat.
Like VIP and VVIP.
You see what I'm talking about? So you see,
no, next year I really want to go to Dirty Rave.
Yes.
I was watching, I was like, oh my goodness.
So even before you get to the event and you actually enjoy these kinds of things, and I feel like most of the events too were really DJ MC driven, right? So it was more, I mean, the artists were there, but I mean, they were investing a lot more in experiences. And these are the kind of components that people are trying to get from the money that they are spending. And then they feel like they may not be getting, you understand? If I'm paying $150, $200 for accommodation, you for carrying me go.
Wait, Odi, I just remember that you were saying that for your concert, people left VIP and came to general access because they said what their view was better.
No, they just felt like, so you know how Allianz is, right?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
For us, What we realized from the first event was people enjoyed the fact that they could come, they could actually sit whenever they wanted to sit and all of those things.
Uh-huh.
So we had that. But we also felt like there are certain people that may want to be in some space where, I mean, not everybody's, they don't want to jump. I mean, some older people and everything.
So where did you place your VIP?
It was kind of next to the stage. Like if I'm on stage and it's off to the left.
Off to the side.
Yes, to the side.
So the front of the stage was for general admission.
Yeah.
And then VIP is off to the side.
Off to the side.
So then you're not getting like...
No, they could actually see everything. They could see everything. But the way Allianz is, you know, the amphitheater is...
Yes.
Is, I don't know how to put it. You really do not even have to do a VIP section in that venue.
Mm.
But just that there are certain people that may not want to be with everyone. So you have to just call them.
I must ask, is VIP important for a concert?
It depends.
Let's think about it.
It depends.
It depends on what?
So that's what I'm saying.
What's this, Manuel? Do you have something to say? Because I'm just thinking about it though. Like, if you have come to a concert, you have come to a concert. Why don't you want to, like, why do you want to? Because most of the time, I realize that when we do VIP, it ends up becoming general admission.
I mean, I feel like
it's a section thing.
Yeah.
It's a section thing. Also, I think you get the most money from the VIP side. Mm. If everybody was buying VIP, cash out.
Yeah, but like he's saying, value for money. You are selling your VIP, but then it's like it's almost stops there. The service or whatever is supposed to be make the VIP different.
Yeah.
On the night, it's like you're throwing your VIP away. That's it.
Yeah, that part I agree. That's where the problem comes from. But then a lot of people want that exclusivity. They want to be comfortable. They know that these events are expecting thousands and thousands of people, and they don't want to stress getting in, you know, being comfortable during the performances and also leaving and all of that. Mm. But the problem comes in when they are not getting the value for the money. Because with my experience of doing our events outside of Ghana, I realized that there's so much that is being given. The options plenty. So if you want to be carried on someone's back, they will find the money, that the coat that will make sense for them, and you have that experience.
Yeah.
It becomes a problem when the money, they match the service you are getting.
True. Yeah. Also, I want to add that, you see, the thing with VIP also is a lot of people also pay for the access that it gives.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? When you travel outside and you go to some of these events, VIP doesn't even start from when the event is happening. VIP starts from way before in terms of get your band, things that you get, how you are treated. And I feel
like it takes me back to Global Citizen.
Yes.
Because I was in the VIP and then there was like,
you had a different place to go through.
Screens. You don't have to come outside. You know what I mean? Like, even before the show starts, you are feeling like a VIP.
So I feel like VIP, I mean, we are evolving as an industry in itself. But I think with a lot more exposure, we can invest into more things where people get more value from the things that they are paying for.
We Stay Real is more than just a slogan. It is a promise. At Fika Tea House, we use fresh ingredients from farm to straw boba, real fruit to house-made syrups, loose leaf tea, and real milk. No preservatives, no nasties, just pure natural deliciousness in every sip. Besties, we are more than just amazing bubble tea. The Fika Tea House is a place to connect with friends, enjoy your finger-licking snacks, and a serene green space. So immerse yourself in the ultimate bubble tea experience. Open your favorite apps, ride-sharing, or menu finder delivery app, and enter Fika Tea House, F-I-K-A, Tea House, you can spell it, to get directions, order a ride, or have your new favorite bubble tea and snacks delivered straight to you. Fika Tea House, we stay real.
So away from VIP, what are some of the complaints that you've seen the most from events and concerts goers this December? Personally, the start time thing, you know, and I like that you are all talking about going to events. So Obia concert for Abrotrader. Midnight. Because if you don't close, the fire service has an issue because they close at midnight. So if something happens, they have to be working. Transportation ends at midnight, trains. So you have to make sure you end your show at a time where people don't have cars. We have no standards. And so you can have...
So we don't have
standards. No. Look. Like, nobody is thinking about the fact that if you close your show at 5, you won't get car. Nobody's thinking about that. So I'm just wondering, you guys are traveling. So what kind of...
I think, ask me.
The parties that go on till 6 a.m., do you think it helped us in any way in terms of our culture?
It's one of the things that we became known for because I've also traveled. And for example, when you go to certain countries, for example, Canada, 2 a.m. club upon is one of the things that they're like, oh my God, these guys party till morning. Yeah. That's fine. Like those Polo Beach Club events where there is fine. But I'm talking mostly from the concert goers viewpoint. And that's another thing. You guys forget that 9 to 5ers are also coming to your shows. Like 9 to 5ers are coming to your shows and they want to be able to go to the show. Go and sleep and go to work the next morning. But there's no consideration. Are there policies that or venue you know, rules and regulations. I saw, Amari did an interview and she was saying that there are fines if you go past a certain time.
Yeah.
So do you think that would work in Ghana?
I think, you see, the problem is if you set a rule and you yourself, you can't follow the rule, then there's no point to having the rule to begin with. And that's the problem. Because I think when we're doing Captain Base in London, they give us like from 3 to 10. By 10, you close. Now, if there's any hitch, like any hitches or any issues that you want to resolve, and the owner of the place is generous, so it's maybe an extra hour. They can give you an extra hour, like, okay, this is on the house. But when they say you are closing at 11, they don't care if you are Jay-Z.
Exactly.
They are shutting the music down, shutting the lights off. Everybody get out. Like the way they kick you out of the location, the venues, if you be Ghana, nobody will go there again.
Can we do that here?
Like they will kick you out, with security. And you are the person that was on stage.
Yeah.
And they are pushing you like everybody, like leave.
Do you think we can do that here?
That's what I'm saying. It's a behavior thing.
How can we like do something?
I think it's almost a cultural thing. It's almost a cultural thing.
It can be done. It can be done.
Yeah, it can be done.
I don't think so. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's almost a cultural thing.
I like how Kojo Manuel is putting it. Like, you cannot just say out of like events, we could start from 7 to 8 p.m. Let's take our culture in general. Do we go to places?
We are generally
late. Generally.
How many times have you been to church and you made plans after church?
Yeah.
Thinking, oh, by 12, we will close. 2, you are still sitting there. So it's deeper than, the stage wasn't set on time. It's deeper than, because like you guys were discussing, when I was behind the screen, you guys were talking about how you are expecting the people to fill the place before the artist performs. At the same time, too, there's a certain expectation from the fans thinking that, oh, they said 7, but let me go at 10. So it's from both sides.
Because it will be paying.
Yeah.
And no, but that's what keeps the cycle going.
Like, for example, Promised Land, right? I think Promised Land started like around 3. You remember? I think so, because around 1, somebody posted a video and the place was empty. And then there were tweets saying that, oh, in the past, it never starts on time. So people to have advised themselves. Like, how do you break that cycle?
I think it takes some level of sacrifice.
What will we sacrifice?
Oh, maybe one event, you start very early.
When there's only like
when they come there,
10 people there.
Yeah.
For example, Black Sheriff at
Zama.
No, Tidal Ray.
Okay.
He told everybody, I'll be there at 5.
Mm.
There are people that really follow him knew that he'd be there at 5. And he was there at 5.
Yep.
Now everybody was like, oh my goodness. When he says he's going to be there, he'll be there. So when Zama was different, everybody was like a little heartbroken, which I understand. But he had genuine reasons. So for somebody like that, we can forgive him. But the thing is, when you start to move a certain way, the people that follow you, so Sincerely Accra is doing, you're doing an event outside. You say we are starting at 6. Your people get there and then you start at 8:30. The next time you say, oh, we are starting at 5 because you're trying to make up for. You'll be like, oh, last time, okay, you said 6.
Yes.
Started at 8:30. So now 5. Let's go there at 7:30.
Then it keeps
moving. Now you'll be angry. Like, where are they? But you started this.
I think what both of them are just saying is, I think within the entertainment space, we need a lot of cultural ambassadors. Ambassadors who stick to their word.
Mm-hmm.
Between you and I right now, and everybody here, if there's an Amare show tomorrow, will it start on time?
Well, the Amare show started at a decent time.
Yes, so it'll start on time. So yes. I just feel like it's the same thing he's saying. Cultural ambassadors who will champion things like, my shows will start on time regardless.
Mm.
Like, my cult following should know that these are the standards that I hold up to.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to hold up onto them, and then let's go on that particular route. Same thing he says, are we willing to sacrifice? Are event organizers willing to lose money once, twice, 3 times to actually go let's start brunches at 12?
Oh my God. let's not get into the brunch space, because brunch is now a filler word.
There's a joke that's too expensive.
I know.
Oh,
yeah. But also let's you having done a lot of MC work, I feel like you also work with artists generally. So many times I've gone to a show and then I'll hear that the artist is not even at the venue yet. What is the thinking behind it? And also, Odi, I mean, because you're an artist manager, what is the thinking? Because it's almost as if they want to hear from their house that the place is packed before they move. Why are they not at the venue at?
I think it's different strokes for different folks. It's not the same reason. There are certain artists that pride themselves in being there on time because they said, I'll be there at this time. And maybe there can be some production issues, some technical hitches that stops them from doing it. There are also certain artists that just want to take in the glory of it. That it was 6:30 a.m. and I was performing.
Yes.
And the beauty of knowing, of there's a certain beauty to it. Let's not like kid ourselves.
The sun is coming up.
You know, 6:30 a.m. and you're still on stage. You understand? Okay. It's like, yeah, we partied from the night before always. If you go to Made in Tardy,
okay.
Cannot yo, see. I was a host last 2024, right? I left the event at 7 a.m. 7 a.m. The flight delayed. The flight from Tardy to Accra delayed. Mm-hmm. We waited for about an hour for the flight to come. I got to Accra, the show was still happening.
Sometimes people are built different.
No, but then it's not a thing where you hear people complaining about it.
Mm, okay, did the show start on time?
No, it's a free show.
It's a free show. Oh, okay. And the one, I'm not ticketing, you complain.
But then he brings all the stars and people understand that this is what it is. It's a cultural, it's sort of a cultural thing. I think artists, different energy. I don't think Shatawale will be on stage at 6:30 and you'll see anybody complaining. No. But I think, especially for an artist, you should know who your fans are. Mm. If your fans are not the type that are going to be crazy about it, then no.
Your fans are the Twitter ones.
Yeah, because you see Rapaholic, maybe there will be one or two delays, but no matter what, he will try to end the show at the party. And Blacko, exceptional. Blacko, I can't.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to Zama twice. This was the third one.
Yeah.
And the two times I went, you know, it was on time. So I think generally that was the conversation. Everybody was like, oh, this is not Blacko. But then we found out that the venue, I think they did
the day before, which comes back
to what you were saying to about logistics.
Yeah.
But I want to know, when you are on stage, right, and there's like a 5-hour delay and they say, go and hype them up.
I mean, first and foremost, if I know there's a 5-hour delay, you need to have X. Like that's the part that's funny to me. Like, do you really think that I'm backstage and they tell me that, okay, so it's 8 o'clock now. But the artist is going to be at 3 a.m. Between that and the time he gets here.
So you never know.
No, like this, would you do it?
Oh, say maybe I'm a Jessica.
And all, but no.
Maybe I'm a Jessica. Once the money has entered your account, okay.
Because the lineup of an event hardly ever dictates that is going to happen.
Yes.
So it happens out of the blue and it's like, oh, we don't know what we are doing. You need to hold the crowd down for a while and then we figure it out. So sometimes I'll be on stage. Then I'm not timing myself, but I'm there and I'm like, feels like I've been here for an hour.
Wow.
Like, you know, I've been there. Then you see me walk, go back, go talk to DJ, be like, Charlie.
Then you come back and ask us if we are mad. Because why are you still here?
So for a lot of people, like, they feel like there's this perception that MCs and DJs will just continue performing, even though the artist is ready.
Mm.
See, that is the biggest joke I've ever heard in my life. Sincerely, Akka, let's say you're doing an event.
Uh-huh.
You are the star of the show. Everybody came because of you. Not because Kojo Manuel is the MC. You may have people that come there because of it, but how many? People that are buying the tickets are coming because of you. True. So if I'm on stage and you say you are ready, then me, I'll say, Joseph is ready, but me, I won't leave the stage. Like, what are you talking about?
Your content. Maybe you see your videographer wants to get content of you doing. Are you mad?
No. See, and for the record, anybody, if in this one's from artists, from singers to rappers to DJs to MCs. Listen, it's not you spending 2 hours that will make you big. What you do with 5 minutes can be the reason why you become the next big thing get the next bookings.
Yeah.
But spending 2 hours, so some DJs don't want to allow other DJs to play. MC's hot mic. It's a whole different beef on that side. It's a whole different fight on that side.
Mic going off and things. Yeah. Like, I've seen a lot of it.
But the most talented creatives know that they don't need 2 hours, 3 hours to make an impact.
Yeah.
So it's never really an issue. And that thing would never happen that an MC or DJ will intentionally not move. But to answer your question, for us, most of the time, we don't know. But then you can also see the promoter going through it. You understand? You see the promoter, you see the artist manager is stressed. So is it the time for me to say that me too are vexed because she said I should do 2 hours and it's been three. Mm. So I won't go on stage unless, like, no, you have to.
Okay. You know. So let me just ask, because we have to go into the accountability. What is the mark of a good show or event for you guys? Odi?
I think it's just getting straight to the action, like action throughout.
Okay.
And everything actually being planned out. Like what Kojimano was saying, most of the time, we kind of use the MCs and the DJs as like the glue between
sets.
Between the sets. And then it's best when it's actually planned out. When we know that, okay, we want to have a 4-hour show within this period, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. I feel like we had that in 2024. So many people were happy that they came to the show and by 12, they were able to leave Nemo Live and then go to the club or go do whatever they wanted to do. People who had work the next day were able to do that.
Exactly.
So, yeah. And that what he also said about understanding who your fans are. For us, we know the kind of people that like RDJ's music.
95 is
a lot of 95. So, yeah. But I think the things that he's saying really resonates with them.
Yeah, so,
you can't keep them there for too long. Yeah. And that's even one of the reasons why we had to get a place where people can actually sit.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are certain people that will be like, my sister, I mean, she's a mother of three. She came and she was like, what she enjoyed was the fact that she could sit
she
down.
She could sit down.
She wanted to sit down. Yeah. So understanding who you are working with, it's everything. And then also, I forgot to mention, Mr. Easy's event, Let You Rip, crazy. Backstage, everything crazy. So Easy was looking like someone from an action movie because he was walking around with the security detail, like five of them.
Oh, at a point, I was just following him around. He just saw me and said, oh, let's talk about it. We started a conversation less than 2 minutes after the conversation. They are calling him to come and look. Then he was just walking with about 8 people.
Yeah.
And I did the back. I don't know whether I make her follow the bouncers or make her did the front. And then he's just moving. He's so busy.
He's on top of
and
everything.
He's always on top of. He's trying to fix every problem.
Because one of the reasons why I was skeptical about going was parking and the organization of moving your car. Because you know that venue gets very busy.
Yeah.
And I heard from people that it was very organized, the parking thing. So honestly, me, when I look at events that do well, events that consider parking, the ease of access, entry, mm-hmm. those are the things. And then I look at, of course, obviously starting on time, and then you know the musical production. I think that's another thing, the musical production. I love our artists, but please don't ask me or say they 500 times, you know the lyrics, no? Yeah, Joey, what's the mark of a good event for you?
I think it's a combination of a lot of things. I think ease of access, entry, experience is a big thing for me. Feedback is also a very big thing for me. And for me, when I'm at most of the concerts, I don't know, maybe because of what we do in the media space, because I'm a visual person.
Mm-hmm.
So storytelling is everything for me. So even with Dirty Rave, we're official media partners for the event. Before the event, I had to make them sit down and tell me the story behind what the mask and what the mask is and what they want to do with the mask. So that mask right now that you guys see, there are plans to actually put it somewhere at like the Tetekwashi runabout.
Oh.
So
oh,
it becomes
really?
Like an iconic fake thing for... So you get what I'm talking about. The person who welded it is Nigerian. It's a welder. They flew in the whole team, creative direction, almost like 15, 20 people from across Africa to come in. So he sketched it. Yeah, he sketched the thing. He brought a creative director. He got a welder, one of the biggest welders in Lagos, who brought his team. He came to weld the thing. So the storytelling behind the event, you understand? Because when I am at an event, I look at things a bit totally different. How is the service at the place? There was one point at Dirty Rave where, so the VIP was on stage. So that there was a stage, there was the you guys on stage, and then there were two parts.
Yeah. They do like on the side.
You know the funny thing? I asked someone, I was like, okay, so why the demarcation? And they were like, oh, these guys are the Gen Z elitist for on the left. And then the right is the influencers VIP.
Really?
Yeah, but there was a point in time where Dirty Rave had these bands that you wear on your hand. When Easy started speaking, almost all 18,000 people, the bands went blue.
Hey, Beyonce.
Right? When Charlie Poppy came on, it went red.
Oh.
You get me? So it was like,
Oh, next different I'm there. Experience. This year I'm
there. Yeah, you get what I'm talking about.
Because that's what Beyonce did at the Cowboy concert. Like, that thing comes on.
Yes. So these experiences are some of the things which
you look out for.
I look out for. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, maybe some other people go like the vibe, the music.
I mean, but Manuel like is like the MC. So if I ask you for the mark of it, I'm sure you are going to take
No, I
it
feel
from,
like he also, you see, most events, he's working. We are also working as a team, but I can tell when he's having fun at some of the events. Like I can actually tell. That, yes, that he's having some of the events. So those are the things.
You can tell when you are having fun at the events versus when you are just, you know. So what is the mark of a good event for you?
Your MC doesn't need 6 hours on stage. No matter how much they love you, if Sarkozy spent 6 hours on stage, people will start to feel like, it's a human thing. It's a human thing. It's a show. So even if your artist performance is supposed to be, let's say, 3 hours, in that three, they don't have to wait 3 hours to see a 3 hour show. You understand? And in between, for a lot of people, they'll think that, as an MC, that's heaven for you. No, that's hell for me. Because when I enter the stage and I say, my name is Kojo Mano, there are people that is like, yay, they're happy. Let me tell you a funny thing. The more I come on stage, the lower the energy goes.
It goes down.
So now I have to do more to keep your energy up there. Why am I killing myself?
Because you have been paid. What is I'm starting to believe that people come for you because they know that if we have a 5 hour delay, Mano will hold us down.
I'm just doing my job, you know. So for me, a very good event is when I don't feel the need to leave just before the performance. Most of the time, that's what I do. The performance, I know they watch it. At that time, I'm too tired.
You're tired, so you're going home.
Unless I'm very crazy about the artist, I hardly ever stay to watch the performances because I'm drained by that point. So if I have, let's say, an hour or two tops where the crowd engagement, the DJs are killing it, and right after, main artist hits the stage, at the end of the day, everybody will be like, that was a nice event.
Yeah.
But when you leave me there for 4 hours, yes, they will insult me. Then somebody has to come in. Defend me, and then it's a whole back and forth. But then that overshadows even you, the artist, your performance, because it's a side conversation.
Yeah.
So for me,
distracting
things happening on time, the sound being good is very important. There's a different level of annoyance of hearing, "Are you mad at 2 a.m. if the sound is bad?"
Yeah.
If the sound is good, you might not mind. Yeah. But when it's 2, 3 a.m. and the sound is also bad, and I'm saying, if you know the vibe, it's like, Charlie. You know? So the production is very, very important, that, you know, getting everything on time. I think events like Afrofuture, Dirty Rave have done very well production-wise. I mean, you see a lot of things backstage and you realize the effort they put into it. But some people are also learning, and it's fine. We all can grow in there. But for me, everything being intentional. At this time, this person goes, at that time you're switching, at this time you're doing this, and sticking to it is very important. So if you stick to it, production will be amazing. If sound is good and you are following the timing, and I'm spending an hour or two only on stage,
do people typically run through their schedule before the show?
Some people do.
Okay. Would you say in the industry, is this something that is common?
I think more than half of the events actually do that. Really? They will send you a program liner.
Because we've also been to events where, like, we are looking at sound check.
Oh, yeah.
When it's supposed to have started.
Oh, yeah. But the fact that they run you through that thing doesn't mean it will happen that way. That's the problem.
Well, my last question is, what is one rule you would introduce to the event space that you think will revolutionize it? If you could make one rule, one policy, one law, right? And you would enforce it, what would it be?
I think it would just be the venue thing, the timing, capping off events at a certain point.
What time would you choose?
Concerts. I think concerts should not go beyond 1 a.m.
1 a.m.
Yeah.
Fair.
I don't think concerts should go beyond 1 a.m.
So if it goes beyond 1 a.m., what happens? You pay a fine,
yes.
Would you come and shut it down or you let it continue because they'll pay the fine anyway?
Oh, I think events should be shut down at 1 a.m. and then you pay
the fine.
Yes. because it forces you to do the right thing. There are certain events, not to drag the conversation, but there are certain events where I spent an hour plus on stage because none of the main artists felt like they were ready to come. They are not the headline artists, though. Like, there are other performances that are supposed to happen.
Let's say the opening act, but the supporting acts.
The supporting acts don't want to come on stage. So when you get to a point where now you guys are energized and everybody's shouting, singing the lyrics, then now everybody wants to come.
So then
it's like you're running a show from, let's say, 8 to 12. You expected to do that between 9 and 10. Now they forced the MC and the DJ to jump from 8 to 10. So now between the 10 and 12, everybody wants to perform in that
hype.
So then it's like, quack, 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 and that's where you have sound issues because the DJ is not set up right. Your whatever, your screen effects, sound effects, everything is not set up right. Then there's that confusion because nobody wants to perform unless the crowd is hyper.
See, Odi, what's your one rule, law, policy?
Now, before I even get to that, right?
Uh-huh.
There are a lot of things that have to change, right? Mm. And
I know he knows about this.
What he's even talking about with like artists not wanting to go on at certain times. You know, most of the shows that we had were organized by other artists, right?
Okay.
So if we are doing Nemo Live, all the artists that we saw over there came there on the basis of doing us a favor, right? So it becomes very difficult to be like, yo, get on stage, do this, do that.
They are not feeling like going.
They are not feeling like, Charlie, what are you really, really going to
do? Why did they come?
So that's, no, but I mean, we've not, to speak for us, we didn't face anything like that. From the first edition to the second edition, we've not faced anything like that. But I'm just saying, like, it becomes very, very difficult to really be like, oh, you have to go by this time. So you realize that maybe the other ones that are organized by, let me see, call them promoters or
bigger.
Everybody goes on time because what you've been paid. Probably there's a clause in the contract somewhere that if you don't do this at this time, this is what happens. So all of these things are factors. And then to speak on the culture thing, Ghanaians feel like contracts, when you send a contract or something, they are being combative. So that's also a
why are you sending me a contract?
When they see contracts, they immediately imagine maybe a bailiff serving them or something. Like it's just straight to court. So that whole thing is also there where it's going to be very difficult to enforce certain things. And like I'm saying, like most of the artists will not be able to put up very, very, very good shows with so many support acts, if they had to pay everybody that was coming. The ticket prices will balloon and I don't know how any show is going to happen. So the whole answer is I don't know how we're going to find the whole answer.
Personally, I wonder sometimes if it's necessary that every act must bring somebody on stage.
We date together if I understand. Yeah.
Oh no, I understand. Together, I understand, so but like you know, you said this thing about like if I go to one show, I will see so and so and so. I go to the next show, I'll see so and so and so. And all those people having to come because it's a favor, you can't really force them on their timing and and it contributes to the dragging of the show because you really wanted to bring this person out, but he's on his way. You know. Yeah.
And then also sometimes certain acts, I don't know why, but some support acts also come to some people's shows and it's like, I want to perform for an hour. Like the person.
1 hour.
Trust me, we saw it this December with one of the events. Someone was a support act performed for 1 whole hour. Right? So
you know at Amare's show, somebody did one song.
Yeah.
And
that's, perfect. Yeah. That's perfect because it doesn't drain the energy from anyone. Everybody's happy, you know. Mm. So it's just a lot of things. But like what Kojumano said, ending, cutting the show. Because Irish show in London, for instance, like they were actually like, you guys have to leave. Yeah. And the same in Germany as well. The venue was booked for another show.
I'm just going to echo everything that they've said. Timing. I wish brunches.
Hey, this brunch thing is on your time. Heart.
It's on my heart.
It's on your heart.
Yeah, starting on time. And I think
As we evolve, I one thing that's just really on my heart is I think we need to start developing a ticketing culture.
Mm.
It will really help all these things that we are talking about. It's a very hard topic, but developing a ticketing culture will help a lot of things around artist timing.
Just real brief, when you say a ticketing culture, because I mean, when you say that, and I'm hearing you, I'm like, events sell tickets. Some of them you go there, you redeem. Some of them you get a band. So when you say ticketing culture, what do you mean?
You know, half of the you know where I'm talking about. Oh, like,
oh, but,
when
it comes the listeners,
to, yeah. No, so what I'm talking about is the fact that, like, when it comes to events and stuff like that, we should be willing to pay for stuff. Right.
Oh,
you get me.
So you're talking about the people that want free tickets, yes, because they're your friends.
Yes,
they
and
know
things
you.
Like that. You get me. Uh-huh. Okay. So if that's one thing that I would if one policy that I
true. People legit come to an event without the tickets, knowing that they're gonna call somebody.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah,
let me just add. Okay. So Cups and Bass at Bloom Bar, I don't know how Loft will feel with me talking about this, but in a week to the event,
mm-hmm.
we didn't have up to 20 tickets
sold.
It wasn't up to 20, it was like 15, it was 11.
Wow.
The ninth, as of the ninth, like the day, mm-hmm. let's say midday before the show.
Yeah.
300.
Mm.
And then they bought tickets all the way till 4 a.m. The show, we were done playing at 4 a.m. Someone was buying tickets at that time.
4 a.m.
Yes.
We're very last minute.
Very, very last minute. So that's what I'm saying, that everything goes back to the culture. Like, yeah. People, you see that an event is being promoted. Nobody wants to buy the ticket. So when you as a promoter, you don't know what the expectation really is.
You also on can't
the
plan
ninth,
for
you
them.
Can't really plan for true. It. So on the ninth, you're just there and you're like, well, you know, it's 50 people bought the ticket. You reach there and there's 500 people.
Crazy. That's true.
But then that's, I mean, we've been finessing it for a while. So, yeah.
Anyway, guys, I think that's going to be our conversation. Thank you guys so much for coming. We're going to put your socials where we need to put your socials. But yeah, once again, guys, it's been our conversation on, you know, Accra Nightlife events. And look, sound off in the comment section if you have any contributing factors. And please don't attack anybody. Don't attack. If you are a hit dog, holla somewhere else. Don't attack anybody.
You come in peace.
What's up, ladies? What's up? It's Ken Paluta. What's up? Get on the dance floor. Ken Paluta, yeah. Enne me timisika, enne mi neori sista. Enne mi neori sista, enne me timisika. Enne me timisika, enne. Befa wadi dede mami nami nami nefa wako mani noni. Say ha, say ha. Fawadi dede mami nami nami nefa wako mani mami. Say ah, say ah.
All right, guys, we're back now, and it's time for us to do this episode's listener letter. Yes. You know, we did a little survey, and it turns out that the listener letter segment is like one of the most sought after. Like, out of the people that we sampled, like the highest percentage said that they listened to the podcast for the listener letter, which is quite very, no, actually, no, it wasn't number one, but it was in the top. And I find that very interesting. But anyway, let's get into it. What I'm going to call this Tui. Okay. All right. So this is what Tui says. Hello, Joseph.
I'm considering moving out of my parents' house. I just turned 29 and I've been saving for a while. I've even bought a few things. I don't mind living with my parents. They are really cool, but I feel it's time to leave the nest. Hey, bad man. I'm a single guy with very few friends. My closest friend doesn't like going out and neither do I. Because we are introverts, I see. My mother mentioned to me once that she wished I had a girlfriend before I moved out so she can keep me company. I mean, debatable, because she's over here wishing you had a girl who would perform the duties that she would no longer be able to perform since you are going to be out. Oh my God, am I too woke? Okay, my mother mentioned to me once that she wished I had a girlfriend before I moved out so she can keep me company. I also have a friend that says living alone gave her a lot of anxiety, so she made her little sister move in with her. I've been listening to you and I know you live alone. Is it that bad? Question mark. The only benefits people have mentioned about living alone is a place to have sex and do whatever you want, but I'm more interested in what it does to you mentally. Also, any tips on what to consider when looking for a place? Thanks. All right, Tway. I mean, listen, I have done the tedious, arduous labor of moving out twice. Yes. I think 3 years ago, almost four, actually, I moved out of my mom's house into my first apartment. I stayed there for 2 years. Landlady got funny, so I had to move. On short notice, mind you, this lady told me in December, don't let me even like, honestly, maybe I should get into it because these are some of the things that you guys need to like know about when you're considering moving. One thing that I didn't really think about was the fact that you like, oh, what's no be fee? A friend of mine who also like rents, he says this and he puts it so well. He was like, And that's the thing. We are under the impression that, oh, I'm going to be independent. I can do what I want. My dear, if you are not lucky and you have a landlord, landlady that lives close by or in the same building and they are funny, ciao. Let me tell you. So basically, when I first moved in, she didn't live in the apartment complex. She lived in her own place with her husband, like a few minutes away. So it was walking distance, you know. So we usually go to her house and stuff, which by the way, meetings reminded me of like when I was in boarding school all over again. It's a lot. So you people, this one would make us sit through. I remember one time it was Christmas and she was doing a Christmas party. She literally sent the girl that lives with her to come to everybody's room, knock on the door and tell us to come down. We should dress up and come down. Can you imagine? We didn't have option to dress up and come down. I was even like, I think I was sleeping or something. So I was like, okay. And I went to sleep again. They came back to knock. And when I went down, I went to sit there. The other tenants in the building, like you could tell everybody was there begrudgingly. Like one man, he had three children. He had to like dress all of them up. So we're just sitting there, right? There was a whole like opening prayer and everything. So me at a point, I was like, you know what? Give it a cute 5 minutes. Do like I'm getting up. This one, I said, no, I can't leave until I've eaten. I said, which kind of way be this? Listen, she was a lot. She wasn't living in the complex. One time we woke up, there was a whole truck in the house. She was moving in. It was like one afternoon, no notice. She just moved in. And then the guy that like was in the, used to be the caretaker, yeah. I asked him and he was like, oh, she has fought with her husband, so that's it. She has moved out. I was like, wow. Imagine having built a complex that you are renting and then you and your husband have fought. So you have come to take one of the apartments. Baby, that was the beginning of the end. It was just a lot, you know, like between, you know, looking out the window every time somebody's coming in. It's like, what are you doing? Ugh, what is that? But the whole thing was, so it was a two bedroom and I lived alone. So I actually lived alone that time when I moved out. The first 2 years I lived alone. Now I live with my younger brother because my mother, who used to live in Downstone as well, moved out into her own house that she built. Blood, sweat, and tears. She's retired. She's moved into her own house now, which is pretty far away. And my brother started national service last year. So he moved in with me so that he'd be closer to work. And, you know, thankfully he's still gainfully employed And so yeah, I don't live alone, but I've lived alone for 2 years. Look, there was a whole spare bedroom. Oh my God, I feel like I've gone all around. Some of you are even annoyed and irritated, but listen, I have gone, there was a spare room, okay? And the tiles in the spare room, they started to lift. I don't know if you know what I mean, like they just lift, you know? So like the space under it was lifting up. And the first time I noticed it, that was before she moved in, there was a caretaker, and I told the caretaker that, hey, tell your madam, this is what's happening. So I'm under the impression that this thing has been relayed, because that was the thing. That was one of the reasons why he was there. We tell him stuff and then, you know. So I thought this was relayed. And then when she moved in, she had some meeting and she was like, oh, if there's anything that is like spoiled in the house or whatever, people should see, because, you know. And then everybody started seeing the things that had gone faulty in their apartments. And I mentioned the tiles thing. When I first mentioned it, she was like, oh, why didn't I tell her? And I said, oh, well, I told the nigga, he was supposed to tell you. You know what I mean? And so, you know, and then she was like, okay, she let her tiler come and take a look at it and see how it can be fixed. Bad. The tiler followed me, goes there, he looks around, oh, where? He said something about, oh, I used to close the door and the window so the heat made it rise. I was like, okay, bad. Mind you, this spare room, I keep like my odds and bits. So like empty suitcases. When I bought a fridge, I learned this from my mom. You keep the boxes that appliances coming, you keep them. So my blender, cause I literally bought all those things when I moved, my stove, my blender, my fridge, all of those things, TV, like all the boxes are in there. So it's not a messy room, but it's kind of like storage. You know what I mean? Okay. This is very important. So, yeah. And then, you know, I had a trip. I had to go to Kenya. So I went to Kenya. I came back and then she was like, they brought me a letter. I opened the letter and this woman, somebody typed this for her. Okay. But basically she was like, due to the dirty state in which I had left the room, the tiles have raised and now it's going to cost her money to fix it and everything. So she's not renewing my lease and my rent in the coming year. Mind you, this is December. I literally just got back from a trip. Okay, that means I spent money. I just got back from a trip. It was like December. So I read the letter. I was like, dirty room? Dirty, what? And look, anybody that's been to my apartment, they will tell you, I am like a neat freak. I literally had to tell myself not to clean up after people when they're in my house. I'd be like, chill, let them do it. When they go, I'll fix it. Like, because that's how I am. So I was very, very, like me, it wasn't even like, I was very irritated because it's defamation. You know what I mean? Like, she's going to walk, when she's telling the story to somebody, like, I'm a dirty boy. No, that is not going to be on the resume. So I called her on the phone. I was like, I would like to have a meeting with her. So I see her and I was like, girl, what are you talking about? I told your nigga this. He didn't tell you. And now it's my fault. Like, what is this? Before I left, you said you come and look at it and fix it, whatever, whatever. And she was being so rude. The whole conversation, she was being rude. So you know what? I was like, honestly, the only reason why I was there was because who is trying to move out in December, y'all? Like, are you crazy? December, because I had to move out there before February 4th, okay? And I didn't want to play any games and then like get lazy. I mean, well, this was after, like, I said I was going to move out. I'm sorry. I don't know if I'm answering your question, but this drama is important for you to listen to. So I'm like, okay, you know what? How much is it going to cost you to fix the tiles? Because in my mind, I'm like, whatever it's going to cost me to move, it's going to be cheaper if I just chip in and pay for the tiles. Because look, guys, let me tell you something. Moving is not just like buying a fridge, buying the cost of the move, like transporting your stuff, the car, the charge. If you have like appliances and stuff you have to carry and things, you want to pray that none of those things get broken on the way. And then if you are like, you know, AC beds that you have to fix, you have to pay someone to come and assemble it. First disassemble and then assemble if you already have those things. Like the cost of moving is very much a lot. Not even to talk about what you give to agents and stuff. So anyway, I'm like, how much... This woman just looked at me. I said, how much is it going to cost you? Let me chip in. She looked at me and said, she's tired. She wants to go and sleep. I said, oh, okay. Bet. Like the battle line has been drawn. I'm not going to grovel at your feet. What do you mean by this? That is some So you know what? I walked out of that, of her apartment. And in my mind, I was like, I'm going to move out before the year ends. Because I'm not crossing over in this place. This bad vibes place. I had to February 4th. But I was like, I'm not. I don't want to see her for too many more times because I'm not about to be doing good morning, good afternoon, good evening with you, babes. So even before I found a place, I started packing. You guys don't know. That's how crazy I am. I started packing. And this time, because the first time I did it was a bit chaotic. This time around, I was doing it small. Started seeing places. I saw one place. It was really nice, but I was not ready. And the guy was like, oh, I should come towards the end of December. I was like, bet. I go towards the end of December. They have not done anything different. And the guy was like, oh, yes, excuses. I was like, bitch, I have wasted my whole December. And I wanted to cross, like, make sure. I was like, okay, I have to adjust my plans. That's another thing, guys. Sometimes you don't have to do two, no. Adjust your plans where you need to. So I adjusted my plans. I was like, okay, by January 20th, you know, I was like, second week January, bet. So I found a place I really like. And, you know, within a week. And that's the thing, I didn't tell anybody. She didn't even see it coming. The same way she moved in, that's how me too I moved out. I got a moving company. They came, it was an early Saturday morning. They packed everything, because everything was packed, taped, boxed. They packed everything, put it down, then they took it to the place, which was thankfully like within 10 minutes away from where the other place was. And then I went to hire cleaners to clean that apartment, spick and span. Bitch, yeah, because you call me a dirty person. And I was like, I'm not even going to give you that satisfaction. A lot of my friends were like, I should have just left the papers and things on the floor and whatever. I was like, nah, I'll prove something to you. So they cleaned, they scrubbed everything spick and span. And I took a video of the whole place clean. Yes. And I left. Oh, of course, I left. It was like in that morning and I left. I wasn't about to have that whole conversation of keys. I left. I beg, I left. So I think it took me like 2 or 3 days, and I called her. I was like, I want to bring her keys, so she let me know when. And in fact, let me tell you what happened, guys. Before I moved out, right, we had this conversation early December. Somewhere within 20 something of December, I get a phone call from a woman who is this woman's friend. Mind you, when I was going to get this place, I don't know, I'm not answering your question. When I was going to get this place, I went into a whole panel. It was this woman and her two church friends. They were just bombarding me with questions. That's another thing you need to think about. Guys, let me tell you, so much of like living away from home, the vibes will be determined by your landlord or your landlady. I'm telling you, my landlord that I have right now, he's so cool. He has 3 kids. He's in his like late 40s. He is so, like, he doesn't care. Like, he's so chill. He has simple rules. That's it. Like, he is so chill. Bruh. We all live in the same. We are just 1, 2, 3 apartments. I have one other. That's it. We look. Chill. Yeah. So I get a call and the woman is like, oh, this so-and-so's friend. I was like, okay, yeah, how can I help you? Oh, her friend told her what happened, and she told her friend that her friend didn't do well because why? This thing, it's what's it called? Maintenance. What's I lived in this place for 2 years, so. 2 years, and there was nobody in that extra room. And so the tiles have raised. Babes, this woman called me. At that time, I'd already found my place and paid the deposits. So I told her, oh, I'm sorry, I've already moved. And you know the funny thing, even if I hadn't found it, I wouldn't have changed my mind. Are you crazy? As a disrespect. And you are so shy that you can't call me yourself. You made your friend call me. I beg. So, yeah, that was it. I called her. I was like, I want to bring your keys. I was like, okay, cool. When I went, she was playing this whole morose. Oh, and you know, she just wants to say that if it wasn't for the towels, you know, that's oh, she really liked me. Girl, I was like, this is your key. She said, I mean, of course, I didn't do that. I listened to her do all of that. And she was like, she's like, oh, she hopes there's no bad blood between us. I said, no, there's no bad blood. And I gave her keys and she said, oh, so when I came, I remember I paid a deposit of 2,000 cedis, which by the way, yes, you will pay a deposit. No, in fact, it was 2 months. You paid 2 months in advance, security deposits. When you are leaving the apartment, if you haven't damaged anything or whatever, they give the money back to you. Fuck a time value of money, my dear. Yeah, so I paid 2 months deposit, which was, cause when I got to pay for 2,000 cedis a month. Yeah. Yes, guys. Now, so man, move to that, so man. It was a 2-bedroom. I got it for 2,000 cedis a month. Right, so I paid a security deposit of 4,000. She was like, oh, so I should let her know what account she should send the 4,000 to. And I know a lot of my friends disagree with me on this, but I told her that she can keep the money and contribute to whatever she has to do with the tiles. Yeah. And I said, I said goodbye, I have to go. I was like, I'm chit chats. And I left. I really wanted to do that mic drop in her face because I was so pissed. She was so inconsiderate. I remember I told her when she said that she's not, I was like, are you? I was like, it's December. I have till February 4th. Like, how am I going to do this? It's not fair. Like, you know, I'm working, blah, blah, blah. Shit, I'm going to sleep.
Dear, I left that place January 19th. February 4th, no, I'm swimming pool. I left. When I left that evening, I was on the group chat. Hey, it was nice knowing, because I had like two or three neighbors. I was like, oh, it was nice knowing, and I left. I didn't even stay to see their messages. I left and deleted the group. The fuck? Anyway, let me get back to your question, Twi. No, so basically, anxiety. You know what I realized? When I moved out, I was thinking a lot. You know, I moved out at 30. And I was at that phase where I was kind of tired of going outside. Because I was outside a lot. From 22 to 30, oh, I was constantly outside. I was always hype. I was always up to things. Like, you know what I mean? When I hit 30, I kind of like got tired of the Accra nightlife. And so I was just at home. I'm just at home a lot. And what you don't realize is like you're home alone. Nobody's, your mother is not calling you. Hey, you know, nobody's calling you. Your father is not coming home. Maybe they're not saying come and open the, you know, you are just there. So I just started to, I'll be watching TV. TV see me name. My soul Netflix, I may share. Then I'll be daydreaming. And I used to dream about crazy, I'll just think about crazy things. Sometimes I'll be planning my parents' funeral. Sometimes I'll just be, like, it was crazy. And so I fell into a little bit of a depression because it's also like now you're alone and you're doing all of this thinking and there's like this assessment of your life. At least that's what was happening to me. I started overthinking things. Oh yeah, those 2 years and having to do the podcast in those 2 years was quite tough. That's come on and perform happiness for people. But it was, one time I was just like, you know what? I'm paying for Netflix and I'm not using it. You know what I mean? Because I just mope and sit around moping. You know what I mean? So that's when I tapped into like my Netflix prop house. Like, I'm not going out. So let me just, you know. So I started like intentionally watching shows, finding shows to watch, finishing it. Then I'll give myself, okay, Friday movie night. Like, I was like keeping myself busy, you know, even though I'm busy, you know. But yeah, I can see the anxiety because, you know, you are suddenly confronted by the fact that you're on your own. Metaphorically and like physically, you're on your own. Your parents have done what they can do for you. You have moved out. Now it's up to you. And you know, there's a comfort to know that you live in Ghana. You can always go back home. I know friends who have moved back home after a while. Yes, some of you, they fail. No, it's not easy to leave the nest. But like, yeah, just that feeling, and it engulfs you. And then there's a little anxiety that comes with like, okay, I have a year or two, depending on how much you paid, to make enough money to continue living here. So, you know, no pressure, but pressure. You know, these are the things you have to think about, right? And definitely, like I said, the vibes with your landlord should be right. When you're moving, look at some of the things like perks. You know, in the two places that I've lived, I've had to do contribution for water and then the dustbin. And then over here where I live, the like outside lights, we split it on all the apartments as well. So those are the things. Aside the rents and your security deposits, you actually spend money on like fixing things like AC. You know, if you buy furniture, whatever, you have to move it, carry it. You know, when I first moved out, my furniture was from the streets. I was driving through Dansoma and there was somebody that was selling these like secondhand couches and I bought them, really beautiful. And I still have them, although I want to give one away. You know, so yeah, you know, just, and you know, do not despise small beginnings. When my friends used to come and visit me, all I had was two beach chairs, foldable beach chairs. We ended up sitting on the floor. I remember one time my friends came to visit me. They were like about 8 or 10 and I didn't have an AC yet. And unfortunately, like the wind was not blowing through the windows that night. It was hot. And literally my friends, everybody like had their tops off and stuff. It was like, I was like, this cannot be it. I coughed up money and I went to buy AC and then installed it just in my hall. Like when I began, I just had a projector, you know, like things. My friends came together and surprised me with a TV, a big ass TV, let me tell you. So yeah, I mean, I just think that you should be aware of that. Like now when the light is not working, when the door is not closing, well, you can't go and tell your mommy, you can't go and tell your daddy, you have to do yourself. You have to call them. Yes. And you will discover how interesting it is to deal with plumbers, electricians, those people. Oh, I'll come today. Oh, tomorrow. It's a mess. Like the amount of things you suddenly are in control of, it's crazy. But yeah, so these are some of the tips learned from my story. Twi, I hope I really helped you. And I'm sure a lot of you can relate. Listen, if you can relate to anything, let's talk on the socials. Engage us. You know what I mean? All right, that's it for this week's episode. We do not have any shout out requests, but just know that we love you. we'll keep you in mind, because we always do when we are planning and plotting for this episode and this whole show, you know what I mean? But it is a time for me to tell you that if you have anybody, you know, a birthday shout out, you just love your girl, you just love your man, you know, you have a friend, you know, is obsessed with the show, you just want to brighten up their day, cheer up their day, send us a DM. Tell us what your name is, who the person is to you, what the person's name is, and the message you want us to give them. Yeah. Or you can give me a prompt. Treat me like ChatGPT. Say that, oh, my girl is not feeling happy. I want you to say something for her and make her happy. I'll do it for you. I'll do it. Just send us a DM on Twitter, on Instagram, or on TikTok. You know, you can leave us a YouTube comment too, on any of our videos after you have watched it, at least 5 minutes of it. Give us that click-through rate, please. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's the new way we're doing shout-outs this season. So get hip to it. Ah, listen, once again, my name is Joseph NT, host of the Sincerely Accra Podcast. You have been listening to the Sincerely Accra Podcast. That has been brought to you by the Gold Coast Report. That's the GCR Network, the only number one podcast hosting network in Idaho, Ghana. In Idaho, Ghana. Yes. And I want to give a quick shout out to my co-creator and producer, Mr. Kwame Asante Ofori. I know you guys heard him on last week's episode. Yes, so it's going to be a staple now. Yes, don't call me a stationary office, but it's going to be a staple now. Yes, we're going to be coming to you every 2 weeks and just talking absolute rubbish, nonsense, unfiltered, you know. We all require it from the comforts of our bedrooms. There's no scripts. We're just freestyling. And you know, some of you want to hear a lot of raw shit. So come on to that side and put people on the audio, please, y'all. Like I say, okay, keep checking for us, because you know it's always a good time on the Sincerely Accra Podcast. I'm going to love you, leave you, and catch you on the next episode, which is just next week. Imagine that. Word to P-Square.
This has been a Gold Coast Report production.